This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, welcome to 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? I am Dan Day. Getting in the Mardi Gras spirit saying, where you at? That's the New Orleans greeting for how's it going? What's up? How you doing? So when you hear me say, where you at? Don't tell me your exact precise location on the globe. Just say, doing good. Where you at? Way yet. I actually have a Mardi Gras face mask that someone sent me. Very much love for that. From New Orleans. Get me in the Mardi Gras spirit. There's actually pictures of it up on my Instagram at Dan Day Radio. Always try to make it interesting. I was out at 26 Degree Brewing in Pompano Beach last night hosting trivia night. Might have stayed a little late. Had some of their delicious Unfunny Brown, which was a brown ale that was absolutely delicious. Hung out with some of our listeners. It's always good times. Thanks, Duty. Thanks, Dolphin Dave. Thanks, the whole crew over there. You can be a part of the crew. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, trivia night, 26 Degree Brewing. But let's get into the goods. We have got it for you. The Joe Rose Show. Oh, yeah. Talking to Jeremy Piven. My man Hollywood got an exclusive with Jeremy Piven, who is in town. This guy is some fun to behold. Then Greeny. He's talking Tampa Bay Bucks football. Ooh. Then Hawk and Crowder, they're talking more football with John McClain. It should be great. It is always fun, and it is good for everyone. Speaking of fun for everyone, let's get into those headlines. The Dolphins staff will coach Alabama standouts Devontae Smith and Najee Harris at the upcoming Senior Bowl. Both are linked to Miami in various mock drafts. Miami has offered a scholarship to former Cane Edgerrin James's son, Eden James. The high school junior is expected to play running back like his father. The Heat beat the Raptors 111-102. The two play again tomorrow at 7:30. Starting January 28th, Miami will allow 2,000 season ticket holders to attend home games. With the 10th pick in the MLS draft, Inter-Miami selected Josh Penn. The forward played for the Indiana Hoosiers last season. Several of the Panthers' upcoming games have been postponed due to COVID concerns. They are scheduled to resume play Tuesday at 7 against Columbus. Canes QB Nakosi Perry has removed his name from the transfer portal. It is unclear what he'll do next. Philadelphia Eagles have hired Nick Sirianni as their head coach. He most recently was the Colts offensive coordinator these past two seasons. And now, you've earned it. Let's take a step into the day spa. A South Carolina couple has been charged with filming themselves having sex in public on a Ferris wheel. I mean, Ferris wheel sex is so complicated enough, much less having to film it. An owl was rescued from a greasy kitchen extractor fan in Great Britain. I don't know, those Brits eat some strange stuff. I bet there was a plan to cook that bird. An Oregon thief recently berated a woman for leaving her child in a car in which he stole. Well, someone had to put her in her place. To the Exergen Weather Center. Tonight's forecast, partly cloudy, with temperatures in the high 60s. This morning, my guy Hollywood on the Joe Rose Show. He rubbed elbows with Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold, Mr. PCU. Oh, he's in town, and you're going to want to get a whole lot of him right here.
Welcome back in on WQAM. Kind enough to join me here today is Jeremy Piven. He'll be at the West Palm Improv starting today through the rest of the weekend here. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. How have things been like for you during this 2020 and now into 2021 here?
You know what? I would complain, but no one cares. How about that? Let's start with that.
That's perfect. I want to jump right into some of the stuff that you've done throughout your career. I'm a huge Entourage fan. I'm in my mid-30s, so it's kind of like a thing for all of the guys, as I'm sure you know. When you were starting out with that show, was there a point that you realized we really have something here that's going to be special?
You know, it's interesting because we started the show kind of just before social media blew up, and literally just before TiVo. So I remember when we first started Entourage, people would have Sunday night kind of gathering, you know, just because you couldn't really record it. And so everyone would kind of hang out together and watch it. And I kind of thought, man, I think we might be on something. And then people started asking me, hey, can we come over and watch it? And that's when I just kind of knew. But to be honest with you, you know, I didn't really understand the reach until kind of maybe into the fourth season or something like that. So it takes a few years. It took a few years to kind of catch on. And now I think, you know, it's really interesting because you can gauge people's interest in real time through social media and, you know, doing through these podcasts and whatnot. People are really connected to that show and they want to see it. They miss it. And they've made it really clear. And I don't know what all those variables are, but I'm honored.
You know, Jeremy, I think one of the coolest things about that show is the different celebrity appearances and cameos that you guys have and the different people that were involved in that show. Was there anyone that came onto that set and you were a little bit starstruck when you started talking to them?
So many. I mean, obviously, Tom Brady to Mike Tyson. Brady was the coolest. And then Tyson was this sweet guy, just wanted to work and do the best that he can. And you just get to see with these guys, you know, they have such an incredible skill set and such discipline that comes through when they work, even though it's an arena they've never necessarily navigated. And with Tyson, we just worked together and he trusted me. We trusted each other and we had fun and he just delivered a great performance. And we've been friends ever since. And I've been co-hosting his Hot Boxing podcast, which is completely amazing and surreal.
You know, I noticed looking at your Twitter feed, you're a big fight fan. Is it MMA, UFC, yeah, or boxing, or a little bit of both for you?
All martial arts, and especially mixed martial arts, because, I mean, I love boxing, and I have followed it forever and been lucky enough to go to these great fights, you know, the Pacquiao fights and Mayweather and all this, you know, really interesting stuff. And I love it. And mixed martial arts, just, you know, training with a few guys. There's a guy named Sugar Rashad Evans that lives out in Boca. And just even training a tiny bit with these guys, what it does is it gives you a sense of how difficult it is, the sacrifice that these guys have to make. And at all times, they're thinking, you know, is this a kickboxing, Muay Thai, judo, jiu-jitsu? What in God's name is coming at me? And we're locked in a cage. And just knowing that fascinates me. So, yeah, I watch all the time.
And you guys, just to get back to Entourage for a second, you guys were able to incorporate that as well. You have a fight, a boxing fight with, I believe, Klitschko in one of the early episodes. And then Dylan ends up in the octagon with Chuck Liddell later on in one of the episodes as well.
That's right. Yeah, Chuck is another one of those guys that was just so fun to work with. It was just a blast. And yeah, people just wanted to come on the show and we got to mix it up with all of them. And yeah, we were at that Klitschko fight. We went to many Lakers games. We shot at Cannes, like on the red carpet in real time. We just had, and it was kind of every week was an event. I don't know what you're watching these days, but I think people are longing for that comfort food, and that's why they keep reaching out saying, hey, where's Entourage? I know that Sex and the City is coming back. A lot of shows are being rebooted. You know, why not? And watch this transition. For me, it was like playing in an incredible band, you know, where someone else was writing the music. And with stand-up, you have to write all your own songs. Tonight I'm at the Improv and all weekend, and it's a chance for me to for people to spend an hour with me, get a sense of who I am, and for them to see what I think is funny. And so for me, it's more pressure because I'm writing all of it, whereas Doug Ellen wrote Entourage, every word of it, did a brilliant job. You know, this is me on stage for an hour. And, you know, it's all on me. And I love that pressure.
Jeremy, let's jump right into the stand-up then, because I've spent a lot of time here. You know, we had the quarantine and everything, and stand-up was one of those things that really helped, you know, me get through it, gave some laughter. And I've always been a huge fan of stand-up, but it feels like, you know, some of these comedians, I know yourself included, are coming back to stand up now, and we've seen a lot more of it. You know, the Netflix specials and all this other stuff. I just find stand up comedy to be such an amazing art form.
It is incredible. I mean, you just know in real time, are you bombing or are you crushing? You know, yeah, I feel the same as you do. I been watching the Sebastians, Maniscalcos, mm-hmm. and Bill Burrs, and just during this quarantine and just laughing. Thank God we have it, and we need more. We need more of it. So yeah, it's an honor to be able to get up and make people laugh right now. I being in LA, there nothing's open. Chicago, nothing's open. New York is shut down. So for me, the last time I performed was at a drive-in theater. I was performing for a large group of honking cars. I got heckled by a Kia Sorento. A large group of liberals left in their Priuses, but they left quietly, which was adorable. So I'm excited to put on some hard pants, not some sweatpants, maybe even wear a watch, go to the Palm Beach Improv and make people laugh.
You know, I always find it interesting, and some of the comedians even talk about this in their routines, and it's, you know, comes down to, you know, this generation maybe and trying not to offend people. But isn't that like the whole point of stand-up comedy? Like, you kind of want to take people out of their comfort zone and, you know, try different things?
For sure. I mean, stand-up is about giving your perspective and possibly sharing a truth with the audience that we all recognize that they might not have thought about. If you're second-guessing yourself, thinking, they may not agree with me on this one, you know, you're not being true to yourself. And it's a high-wire act. And, yeah, you might offend some people, but speak your truth, have fun, make them laugh, and it can be a bit dangerous. You don't want to do a 45-minute political set, that's for sure, but you can't ignore the fact that, you know, Joe Biden just became president, and we're navigating through different times right now. You know, Joe's a little bit older, and he runs everywhere. He's always running. I don't know if you've noticed that. Joe likes to run. He likes to let you know that he's in shape. He's doing great. You know, he even runs at funerals. You can't run at funerals. He runs. You can't run at the pool, but he's running. He's still running. But I love it.
How so, tough is that, though, to bring the political aspect into it? I was going to ask you if that's part of your routine to use that stuff. But is it tough knowing that there's such a divide between people and people are so extreme on one side or the other?
It still could be funny when Trump goes, I totally, 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 totally dominated the COVID. I got a dominatrix, and we dominated the COVID together. Did a great job. You know, I mean, it's insane. You have to admit that's funny. I mean, he dominated the COVID? Dominated. We dominated the election.
Well, I don't know if he did, sir.
Gotta dominate.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop because I'm going to alienate your callers.
We'll shift from politics right into sports. I know you're a huge huge sports fan as well. We got some great games coming up this weekend. I know you're a Bears fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am, and it's been a very, very tough year. It's been strange.
You think they need to make a move either at coach or at quarterback? What would you address first over there?
Well, you know, it's not for me to say, but there's an old saying, the fish stinks from the head down, you know, and, you know, it'd be good to, the McCaskies have been doing it forever. We're all huge fans. We just want them to win and for them to have the best shot. And, you know, it's other teams mix up their GMs. You know, it might be nice to try that. You know, Trubisky, you know, he played 13 games in college, you know. So I don't know if we were looking at his Pee Wee football record. I don't know exactly what was exciting. He's gotten so much better. He's a really, you know, good quarterback at just, I don't know if that's going to move the needle for us. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We got Khalil Mack and that great defense and Hicks, but we weren't. I don't think that they were, for whatever reason, living up to their potential. You see certain coaches that can bring out the best in players. I don't know if that needs to be looked at. Oh man, I think I'm just like a frustrated owner of a team. Like, I just want to own a team.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. Jeremy Piven here with me. He's at the West Palm Improv, at PB Improv on Twitter. You can get your tickets the 21st through the 23rd here coming up, starting this evening here. So Jeremy Piven does stand up there. Jeremy, I really appreciate it. I just had a couple more quick ones for you. I want to jump into the movies that you've done. Is there a role that you played that stands out as something that you're most proud of in your career?
That's a great question. I'm always feeling like whatever I'm working on at the time is the most important. We just sold a film to IFC, and you know we're going to release it in theaters, but you know how many people can go to theaters now? But it's called Last Call. And it's with Bruce Dern and Taryn Manning, you know, from Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie about a neighborhood in Philly. And, you know, I play a guy that broke out of the neighborhood and then his mother dies and he comes back home and his life is forever changed. And it's funny and edgy. And, you know, the stuff that I've been doing even lately, the stuff that I haven't had a chance to do. I have something on Amazon right now called My Dad's Christmas Date, which sounds like a Hallmark card that you don't want to buy, but it's actually edgy and funny. And, you know, I play a dad that lost his wife trying to navigate grief, and I've never had a chance to play those types of characters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, the reviews were like, we had no idea he had this in him. You know, I guess they thought that I could just play raging lunatics, you know, type A Ari Gold types, which ironically, I had to whip myself up into a frenzy to play. And, you know, the roles that I'm playing now are a lot closer kind of to me and to my center. It's been fun, man. And, you know, I'm probably 100 movies into it, which is insane. I was probably 40 movies into my career when I played Ari Gold, and I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37. And I accepted the award and said, thank you, but there's nothing fresh about my face. But I'll accept it.
I've seen you in a lot of different stuff, so I know that you certainly have a wide range. But do you ever feel sometimes, though, like you do kind of get typecast? I know you try to avoid Vince getting typecast as Aquaman in Entourage. But
right.
you ever kind of feel that way? And I'm guessing when you go around, people yell Ari Gold stuff at you all the time, right?
They do, and I put that right in my act. You know, that like I walk around and some dude will just come up to me and go, what's up, bro? I'm a douchebag because of you. And I'm like, sir, we're in front of a Cinnabon. It is a merry-go-round there. There are children. I don't know why you're screaming at me. But I do get that a lot, and people want to show me their inner douchebag. And it's adorable. And I talk about that on stage, the fact that I grew up in a theater family, and I've run lines with my mom to this day. Mm. I'm very lucky to have her. You know, I'm a guy from Chicago who's a stage actor and, you know, got lucky and played a very iconic role. And it sometimes it's hard for people to separate the two. But that's why it's fun to come and see a guy do stand-up, because you get a sense of who he is and what he finds funny. Yeah, so that is a real chance. I think that, you know, even these interviews and long form and podcast is a way of having people understand who you are. Mm-hmm. As opposed to maybe characters you played.
Jeremy, you mentioned, I mean, obviously you've done a ton of stuff over the years. Is there someone that you've worked with that really stood out to you as maybe the most talented person you've ever kind of co-starred along with?
Jamie Foxx. He and I did a movie together that he's been editing for a few years now, and someone needs to go, okay, Jamie, it's enough. We can put this out now. Jamie's the most talented guy I've ever worked with. Just, you know, he can do it all, drama, comedy. He can sing, he can stand up. The only thing he can't do is bowl, but he's talented.
Jeremy, last question for you. And again, you can see Jeremy Piven at the West Palm Improv, at PB Improv on Twitter. Check it out. Get your tickets. Stand-up comedy is the best thing to do right now. Everyone needs a little bit of laughter. But I got to ask you about this. You talked about all the different places you filmed Entourage. One of our favorite episodes, maybe our favorite episode, is the Vegas episode. Can you tell me a little bit about that? How difficult was that to film? Because it looks like you guys are just running around the floor of like an open casino.
Yeah, I mean, we got incredibly lucky. We never had any issues. People were always, and I don't know if you know, just because while we were filming, the show wasn't, you know, so massive that, you know, we weren't hounded, but we were able to go into all these different locations and really get the work in. And so that was incredible. Yeah, in Vegas, we're I don't want to say it was guerrilla film style, but when we first started, it was. I mean, literally in the pilot, they would be like, jump out of the car, walk across that street, get on the phone, start screaming. And that was just, it was just madness. And I loved it. I mean, that's where I come from, you know, is that kind of street theater, guerrilla filmmaking style. So for me, I just love it. It's no problem. Vegas, yeah, it was, we were in the belly of the beast and we were shooting it. But we never had any problems. It wasn't difficult. I mean, a sign of really controlling the set is there's something called ADR, doing looping, where there was so much problems on the set and people were yelling or that you have to dub your voices over again. And we never had to do that on that show. That's a tribute to the crew and everyone that worked on it. They were great. So we got lucky. Hopefully we'll do more. I think people want to see more.
Yeah, and I got to ask you, by the way, Seth Green, is he as funny in person to be around as he is in that show?
No, he's terrible. I really hate that guy. No, I'm just kidding. You know, he's really funny. You know, it's interesting. Like, even people that think aren't funny, you know, everyone's got some sort of a sense of humor. You know, you would be surprised at who really did it, you know, didn't necessarily take themselves seriously. You know, including, like I said, Mike Tyson, who is just such a sweet, humble guy. You know, people know him as just kind of the youngest heavyweight champion and the killer, but he's just like a kind of a sweet, sensitive dude.
And then you teased us there, Jeremy. Is there anything Entourage related? I know you guys have the Victory podcast that we've all been listening to, but is there anything possibly in the future? Because we would love to see all you guys back on screen together.
You know, Doug Allen keeps threatening some sort of a reboot. And it really is about, you know, he's the creator of the show. So it's really up to him. You know, I'm just a player within the scheme of it all. But, yeah, it's on Doug, and he seems to be up for it. So we'll see.
Met Jeremy Piven in an airport one time, and let's just say he looked a little jet-lagged. I'm going to leave it at that. He is going to be on his game, though, here in South Florida, try to check him out safely. If you can. Up next, safely, going to check in with Greeny. He's talking Bucks and playoff football next on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. It's 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hopefully you're doing nice on this Thursday night. I am Dan Day, and I haven't slept a lot. I've been working a lot here at the radio station. I was out at 26 Degree Brewing last night, got finished with my trivia night there, and then by the time I got home, got unpacked, got everything, went to bed about 4 o'clock, got a call early, had to fill in, help out here at the radio station, so no rest for the weary. I have to be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., and there's a Pelicans game tonight, so you know I got to stay up and watch it, even though it tips off at 10 o'clock, so a couple hours of sleep, fresh as a daisy, wolfing down coffee, going strong, getting ready for a back-to-back Heat games Friday and Saturday. But let's not put the carriage in front of the horse. Let's get to Greeny. You can hear him right here on 560 weekdays from 10 to noon. He is talking with one of the Hall of Famers from the Tampa Bay Bucks about not only the Bucks, but the whole playoff experience that is going on this weekend.
Our next guest, who is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who is one of the great players the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have ever had. I want to play this for you and to play it for him, because it was mentioned this morning on KJZ that I was going to have Derek Brooks on today, and that led Keyshawn Johnson to say this.
Best football player I ever played with.
Is that really right?
Yeah. Best one I ever played. I played with some Hall of Famers and some great ones, but by far the best one I ever played with.
Why? What made him different?
His leadership. And never mind his ability on the field. It's just his leadership, just his calm demeanor. You know, Bo was like a grandfather at like 25 years old. Just
old soul.
Yeah, old soul.
How about that, Derek Brooks, who joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, and welcome. How about Keyshawn Johnson saying you're the best player he ever played with?
Oh, my man, 19. I'm extremely humbled to hear that coming from him, man. Obviously, he came here, man, with his, you know, his big personality, man. It fitted right in and allowed me, you know, to continue to, you know, be the leader of this team, man, and really fall in line to the things that we were trying to build here as a culture and add to it. So it's nice to hear teammates appreciate your hard work. You know, whether it's on the field, off the field, in the locker room, that's what this game of football brings about, these type of relationships, Greeny. And I'm very humbled to hear a man 19 say those things about me.
Now, let me ask you this. He also said that you were sort of like everybody's grandfather when you were 25 years old. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, let's just say this, Greedy. Sometimes, you know, teammates put you in that role, and you have to play that role for the good of the team. But for me, again, I definitely take that with a badge of honor. But I know it's more or less being, you know, the calming presence in a locker room full of big personalities that was on our team. You know, somebody had to play that role, and I played it to the best of my ability.
And it got you all the way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The great Derek Brooks is with me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I know how close you remain to the Bucs and how excited you are for what they are doing here. How would you describe, Derek, what Tom Brady has meant to that franchise this year?
Again, you can't really state it in words. You just look at the actions. Look at the journey of this team this past year, where in times of success, they've been able to handle it and manage it well. But more or less when they struggled. In years past, you know, those struggles, you know, led to a team that missed the playoffs because they did not have that presence of a Tom Brady around to keep things going well. When they struggled late this year, I just believe his presence there, and I know for a fact his influence on getting them out of a bad third quarter of this season to get them on a roll to finish the season, you know, with a four-game winning streak and really getting some momentum into the playoffs. So his influence and his handprint is all over this team, and again, the dividends have paid off for the Bucs kind of pushing all the chips in this past offseason to bring him here. So he's definitely meant a lot to this franchise.
Now, there's no question it has paid off. He, at this point, has accounted for 25% of all the postseason wins in the franchise's history. In just the 1 year, he's won two of the eight playoff games that the Buccaneers have won. Let's actually talk about this push to the big game, which is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. When we were breaking down some tape of the first meeting between these two teams, the Bucs and the Packers, which came in week six, and it was a dominating win for Tampa, and Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions, and we really were saying that the hero of that game was Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers, who clearly seemed to fool and confuse Rodgers, which is not something you would assume happens much with a veteran quarterback like that. So my question to you is, what do you see as the game plan defensively this week, and do you think they can fool and confuse Rodgers again?
Oh, Greedy, you know, I'm going to pull a vet move on you. I'm not going to give away the Buccaneer secrets, man. You got a lot of people in Wisconsin that's listening. I will just say this in terms of the first game. The Bucs were able to really take away a lot of Green Bay's running game, and that forced them to throw the ball every down. So, again, the momentum of playing at home and them making an offense so much one-dimensional, the Bucs were able to pivot that to their advantage when it came to their defensive scheme. Whether it was a pressure package, as you referred to, whether it was the disguise package or the zone matchup, they were able to eliminate the big play of the downfield passing and play-action game of the Packers at that time. So that was a really big key. And they took advantage of opportunities that Aaron gave them, you know, at a pick six for a touchdown. Again, you mentioned another interception that they caught the ball and it was a turnover. It wasn't a pass breakup. Some of the similar things will have to go into this game. When Mr. Rodgers gives you an opportunity to make a play against him, you have to do it. Whether it's keeping him in the pocket and not allowing him to extend plays with his legs and arms, and if he throws up competitive balls, you as a defender, you got to come up with the football and make it a turnover. And as I will always say, and this is no secret, Green Bay's running game led by Mr. Jones, they have to take that away to have some success.
Yeah, and there's so many different things there to unpack. I agree. The great Derek Brooks is with me on ESPN Radio. First off, they intercept Rodgers twice in a five-minute span. That's two of only five interceptions Rodgers has thrown in 18 games this year. So it's incredible what they were able to do to him there. And then, yes, the turnover battle has been everything. Brady in his career, 18-0 in the postseason when his team wins the turnover battle. So that does feel like everything. Let me ask you this. Rodgers is so good, and this is such an incredible challenge for the Tampa Bay defense. You played on one of the great defenses of all time. Which quarterback gave you the hardest time?
Oh man, tough question there. Tough question. Yeah, I would say from a defensive standpoint and playing in the NFC in our early years, Favre You know, man, he was tough. We played in the same division, you know, at that time. And Green Bay was a team that we were definitely trying to catch. So Favre in our early years gave us some problems. It was always fun, you know, to play against the Rams offense led by Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and, you know, their assets in terms of the receiving core. It was always a good matchup to play them because that matched well, you know, with our athleticism on defense. I would say, you know, Philadelphia and Donovan McNabb was tough against them because they knocked us out of the playoffs, you know. 3 years, you know, 3 years. So it was tough to, you know, get over that Philly hump. And once we did, we obviously, you know, won a Super Bowl. But, you know, at that time, you know, the great quarterbacks during my era, Tom played Peyton. We didn't get a chance to play those guys because they were in the AFC. But I always say, you know, in terms of quarterbacks, you know, I would start with Brett because we were in the same division. It was always fun to, you know, play against Kurt and Marshall in that Rams offense.
It's a great Derek Brooks with me. And one final question for you, and I so appreciate the time. I just need to understand how you put up with it. You, it is my belief, play golf with Booger McFarland practically every day. And as one who has played a lot of golf with Booger, I just wonder how you manage that.
You know how I manage it, Greeny, is I continue to be a few shots better than him every round. You know Booger plays speed golf. You can't let his pace, you know, get in front of you. But I try to limit my conversation with him on the golf course. He definitely will try to talk you out of your game. If someone's listening to Booger's conversation, they would think he's a 2 handicap, knowing that he's a 30 handicap. Mm-hmm. But he would definitely talk his game up. But we play so much golf, I become, you know, immune to the verbal warfare that he gives on the golf course.
The next time you want to give him the business, Derek, the next time I'm going to give him the business, just ask him what happened to him on the 15th green at Bayonne the day he and I played together. And I will tell you that what happened was he putted a ball off the green, down a hill, 70 yards off the green. He actually putted the ball 70 yards away from the green.
Tell me what he ended up with, a 12?
Yeah, he putted it, and as soon as he hit it, the caddy and I both said, uh-oh, and he said, what do you mean, uh-oh? And I said, well, wait till you see what's about to happen. And the next thing you knew, he had a different club in his hands, and he was 70 yards away. I couldn't even see him anymore. He was so far away. Anyway, I have to run. Derek Brooks, it is a pleasure. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck to your team this weekend, and I respect you keeping it close to the vest. I like it.
All right. Thank you very much, Greta. Take care, man, and much success to not only your TV show, but your radio show as well.
Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll see you again soon. Maybe we'll see you as the Buccaneers are on their way to the Super Bowl. That's Derek Brooks, who is a great guy, and Booger McFarland, who is the best guy in the world and not nearly as good a golfer as he thinks he is.
Greeny giving you the breakdown right there. Always love his hot takes and always love to hear what he has to say. Great interviews, too, as you just heard. Speaking of always being great and great interviewers, Hawk and Crowder talking NFL football with John McClain. Next, here on 560 The Joe, Radio Rewind. No, 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 me toques mal. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and I'm usually hanging all day from 2 to 6 at least with my dudes Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Sometimes I have to pinch it here at the radio station, but when I can, I am there with them. Then from 6 to 7, I'm right here for Joe Radio Rewind, which we're listening to right now. But right now, let's go relive some of the glory recently. Hawk and Crowder talking about the Dolphins, Deshaun Watson, playoff football with John McClain.
You know, Deshaun Watson, according to Vegas, and I think we would all agree with this, if he's traded, the favorite to end up with Deshaun Watson is the Dolphins. Yep. They're 4-1. Jets are 9-2. Carolina Panthers 7-1. Falcons, Colts, and Saints are 8-1. You know, and so again, he's got the no trade clause, so he can determine exactly where he goes, if he goes anywhere. So be interesting to see what happens. But that's why I wanted to talk to John McClain here, because this dude knows more about the situation than anyone that we've talked to, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
He's close to it. As I mentioned, John McClain, he covers the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for many years. And we had talked about this, Crowder, a couple weeks ago. He tweeted something along the lines that he's got a better chance of being head coach of the Texans than the Texans have of trading Deshaun Watson. When John McClain says that, I pretty much take it as the gospel because he's around there. But now I wonder if he thinks, I'll bring him on here. Do you agree with your tweet? Has your opinion changed at all, John?
Absolutely not. I just recorded a podcast for the Houston Chronicle sports website, Texas Sports Nation, why he's not getting traded. He was never getting traded. He hasn't asked to be traded. And Nick Caserio, who comes from the Patriots, knows how important it is to have a great quarterback to achieve your goals. And I'm writing a column tomorrow pointing out, no, he will not be traded. But if he were traded, he'd have a long way to go in his career to follow in the footsteps of a lot of Houston pro athletes who were traded, who went on the Halls of Fame, like Joe Morgan for the Astros, Elvin Hayes, Moses Malone from the Rockets. Astros have had many besides Joe Morgan and the Oilers, Kenny Houston, Steve Largent, Warren Moon. Those guys are all in the Hall of Fame. So if Watson were to be traded, which he won't, he'd have a long way to go to be in that pantheon of the greatest Houston athletes who were traded to other teams and went on to win championships or get in the Hall of Fame or both.
But, John, with this story now, like, why is he – because he tweeted he was on a 2 and now he's on a 10. He's, you know, tweeting, you know, music lyrics, but he's upset. And obviously he wants everybody to know he's upset. Did they do something wrong? Are they a well-run organization, or did Deshaun have some credence to his emotions?
Watson's had no complaints about the organization, even when they were 4-12. We talked to him multiple times a week. And in his last Zoom call with us, actually before the season ended, he said that he had had lunch with Cal McNair, the owner, to pick his brain about what kind of head coach he was looking for. Offense, defense. McNair said, we got a general manager, and then he's going to lead that search. But we're planning to talk to offense, defense, current, former head coaches, anything we can do, current coordinators, former head coaches. And so Watson told us they had stayed in touch about it, and he had been told by McNair they would keep him up to date. And then when McNair interviewed 5 candidates for the GM job, and they tried to hire Nick Caserio 2 times and been rebuffed both times by the Patriots to not interview him, this time because of the new rule that allows you to leave for promotion, they were able to get him. And here comes Caserio, and Watson, the last thing he told us, I just want to hold up a Lombardi trophy. Caserio's held up 6. He's got 6 rings, 6 trophies, and if he hasn't already spoken to Watson, because he's been 24/7 working on the head coaching search, I'm sure he's going to say, Deshaun, you want to hold up a Lombardi trophy? I know what it takes to get one. It starts with a great quarterback. You're our quarterback. Let's start working on this together. And if he wants to know about Caserio, he should check with Tom Brady when his season is over. And people, it's funny, in New England, and you guys know a lot about the Patriots because you go against them all the time. He is very well respected around the league. But here, people don't want him because they're tired of people coming from New England. They don't like their executive vice president of football ops, Jack Easterby, who came from New England. And, of course, there's Bill O'Brien, started all this from New England. So people here are against anything coming from New England. So everybody said that Watson was angry because he wasn't informed about the Caserio hire, that he had to get it on social media. He never mentioned anything about the GM, always the coach, and they told us in their Caserio news conference, we'll keep him up to date on the coach. And the owner said it, and the general manager said it. Then Adam Schefter had a thing Sunday, Watson won't return their calls. So how do you keep a guy up to date if he's not returning your calls? Now, I don't know if that's true. Cal McNair sent him a text. I don't know if Watson got back to him. He'd left him a call. Watson was in Cabo celebrating his girlfriend's birthday. So Watson is, other than 3 cryptic lines out of rap songs, which took me a long time to figure out exactly what he was doing. I got to tell you the truth. We had to get our younger guys to disseminate that. And there's so much analysis of these lines out of songs. So until Deshaun tells us something definitive, it's all going to be a lot of conjecture. But I'll say this. National media around the country, everybody's got him gone. Here, I say there's no way he's being traded. And you guys are the 26th talk show I have done the last 2 weeks trying to say, okay, our team needs a quarterback. What can we do to get Deshaun Watson?
Well, John McClain is with us. He writes for the Houston Chronicle. We, from the outside and looking at national media, feel like it's a really fractured relationship between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, because we're just getting the snippets now that he's very unhappy. We see the cryptic tweets as well. You're kind of saying it's not as fractured as we're making it out to be, correct?
Right, because everything nationally comes from quote-unquote unnamed sources close to Watson. And here, at some point, they're going to get together. You know, they're interviewing coaches. I think the top three candidates, Eric Bieniemy, Leslie Frazier from Buffalo, and Matt Eberflus from Indianapolis. And Watson also wants his offensive coordinator and play caller, Tim Kelly, kept. He's been here since Bill O'Brien came here in 14. Watson had a great season, had personal best in every stat. And that was without DeAndre Hopkins. That was out without his best receiver, Will Fuller, for the last five games. And no matter who they put out there, and they had no running game, he was tremendous. And they lost 8 one-score games, and some of them were really tough. And so he's frustrated. They're all frustrated at what's been going on. He's just the only one who's had people going to the national media talking about the disconnect, how unhappy he is because he wasn't kept up to date on the search for a GM. And the head coach, of course, is ongoing.
And John, I think that one of them rap lyrics, he was on a 2 and now he's on a 10. That was a Future song. But he was on a 2. You bring up DeAndre Hopkins for them getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins. We haven't talked to you. I haven't heard you talk about this topic. Why the hell would they get rid of the, in my mind, I think he's a top 3 receiver in the league. He might be number 1. Why'd they get rid of DeAndre?
Well, first of all, the 2 was reported in national media is about Hopkins. Well, he was a lot higher than a 2 when Hopkins was traded. The 2 comes from not counting unnamed leaked stuff to the national media. The 2 came from where he is right now. And then he went up to a 10 after I did a story that Jack Easterby, the VP of communications, VP of football ops, was not going to be fired and was not going to resign, which was out in the national media last week that he was going to be out. And I interviewed the owner and he said no. So he put that tweet out immediately. As far as Hopkins, that was between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. We knew it was coming. Hopkins had 3 years left on his contract, wanted a $20 million a year raise, and they weren't going to do it. They'd never only done one when there was 3 years left, and it cost them a couple of players and then came in and wanted their deals redone. And O'Brien made that trade. Everybody here, Watson, all the players, everybody hated it. They blasted him over it. And without him, Watson had his greatest season. So that'll go down as one of the worst trades in franchise history because of Hopkins' stature and what he'd done for the franchise, and mainly the fact that he was so durable. He didn't practice, but he always played. And I would see people in Arizona on pins and needles. He wasn't practicing. Would he play? And I'd tweet, he always plays, and he always did.
You have made it sound fairly emphatic that Deshaun Watson is not going to be traded by the Houston Texans, but we are going to continue to do our show based on all the conjecture that he might be traded because it's more fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Like when I'm on the flagship here 6 days a week, and when I say that, they're like, yeah, but. Everything's a yeah, but. And maybe I'll get hired as the head coach, but I'm still waiting for that first interview.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand, but by the next segment, we will be talking about potential trade scenarios with the Texans for Deshaun Watson.
I don't blame you. It's the same way as our website. Every time we put something up, it gets clicks like crazy, and that's why I'm writing about it as we speak.
In fact, for the headline, Solana, when you do a blog post on our interview with John McClain, I want you to write, John McClain, Houston Chronicle, non-committal as to whether the Texans might trade Deshaun Watson. I can't lose this content, John. I can't lose this content.
there's a chance that I could be named the head coach, which means Watson would be traded.
There you go. John, thank you for making time for us, man. We
My
appreciate
pleasure,
it.
Guys. Thank you very much for having me.
There you go. We'll have him back on when Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Dolphins. All the possible scenarios in the next segment.
He's not running me out of my excitement, Hawk. He's
me
not running
neither,
me
man. Me neither, Jack. I'm going to give, was it the neuralizer from Men in Black? Let's all pretend we didn't hear that.
That's insight like no other. Maybe you should hear it. Maybe you shouldn't. Hawk and Crowder, they make things more fun. And not just talking about sports, life in general. The way we are on the radio is real life. That's how we are off the radio. And if you meet up with us anywhere, and one day hopefully things will be safe to do so, you will find that out. Those are my dudes right there. So I'm going home. I am going to not sleep again for about the fourth night in a row because I've been really busy, and I got to watch this Pelicans Jazz game tonight. You know, I'm a New Orleanian, so I'm watching my Pelicans. It's a 10 o'clock tip-off, and my alarm's set for 4:35 in the morning because I got to help out here at the radio station early, but no worries. I'll be around, delirious as all get up and full of caffeine, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock for another edition of 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.